Look, all I'm saying is there better not be any more spooky fucking problems in this episode. Welcome to another episode of Audie's Oddities. As always, my name is Audie, and I'm here to tell you about the spooky and scary shit happening in our world. So you guys, this episode is actually a re-recording. Let me explain. So I recorded this episode last week, and I had numerous editing and uploading problems, and overall, it just ended up not being a very good episode, which is very coincidental considering this episode is about the most haunted building in America. That's right, we are talking about the Waverly Hills Sanitarium, literally deemed the most haunted building in America. So it's just a little bit funky that that is the first and only episode I have had these kinds of problems with. So we're gonna jump right into this right now. The Waverly Hills Sanitarium was obviously a former sanitarium located in the Waverly Hills neighborhood of Louisville, Kentucky. The land that is known today as Waverly Hill was purchased by a man named Major Thomas H. Hayes as a family home in 1883. So because this man and his family were so fucking rich, and because they had all this land, it made them super far away from civilization. So he thought to himself, I'm just gonna build everything that we need right here on this property. And one of the things that he built was a schoolhouse for his daughters to attend. So it was just a one-room schoolhouse, which if you don't know what that is, look it up. I've been in one before. It's literally just a single room, but it looks like a little house. Like when you would draw little houses as a kid, it looks exactly like that. He hired a teacher named Lizzie Nee Harris, and she came up with the name of the school, which was Waverly, after her love of Walter Scott Waverly's novels. And Mr. Hayes liked the name of the school so much that he named his property Waverly Hills. So in the early 1900s, Jefferson County had a tuberculosis breakout, and they built this Waverly Sanitarium to have separate buildings to house all these sick people in. This building could hold about 40 to 50 people. And when the board of the tuberculosis hospital bought the building, they just decided to name it after the land because I guess it was easier. So the original sanitarium was made out of wood, and it was a two-story building that could hold, like I said, about 40 to 50 people. So in 1911, Louisville started prepping to build another hospital, pretty much right next door to the one they already had to help with all of this insane tuberculosis outbreak. The problem is the commissioners of the hospital wanted to ban tuberculosis patients from even entering the hospital, even though that was the leading cause of death at the time. I want you guys to think about this, like, this would be the equivalent of during COVID, them banning COVID patients from the hospital. This was absolutely ridiculous. So that's why the board of tuberculosis at the hospital decided to get $25,000 to start the sanitarium instead. So basically, everybody that had tuberculosis was just thrown out into the middle of nowhere in this huge ass building. So on August 31st of 1912, all of these tuberculosis patients were taken from the city hospital and relocated to, air quote, temporary quarters on the ground of Waverly Hills. Why, you might ask? Because Waverly Hills wouldn't be completed until December, 3 months later, meaning all of these patients that were dying of tuberculosis had to sleep in tents on the grounds of Waverly waiting for the building to be done. And keep in mind, this was from August to December, so it was getting fucking cold. So in December of 1912, the building was officially open to the 40 patients. And these were patients that had very advanced cases of tuberculosis. No fucking wonder, considering you left them outside for 3 months. It wouldn't be until 1914 when a children's wing was added on to hold 50 kids, bringing the total capacity up to about 130 patients. So not only were sick kids part of this hospital, but also children whose parents were patients with tuberculosis, and these kids had nowhere else to go. The reports of the building show that there was a plan to add a new room on once a year. So every single year, this place would be getting bigger and bigger, meaning that we don't exactly know how big it is. Even with this building being huge, people were being turned away because it was already at its capacity. So the wooden structures needed repairs anyway. So by March of 1924, construction began to rebuild the building in brick, but also expand it from 130 to 400 bedrooms. This would also be when they add on the tunnel. Hey, you know how I'm here to tell you about the spooky and scary shit happening in our world? Well, I'm here to tell you about something happening right now. Do you love Halloween? I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you have to, right? Well, have you ever wished that there was another time to celebrate that fun and spooky time of year other than October? Well, if you live in the Athens, Georgia area, now you can! Hauntfest is a Halloween / horror festival business that celebrates Halloween in the spring rather than the fall. So you can get two times as spooky twice a year. The next festival is coming up super soon, April 6th and 7th, and it's going to include some awesome spooky activities. So if you like hay rides, freak shows, fire breathing, live music, trivia, pumpkin painting, animal encounters, a haunted trail, and much more, make sure that you come out April 6th and 7th to the Southern Brewing Company in Athens, Georgia. The festival will also be hosting an array of horror and Halloween-themed vendors, offering things like antiques, tarot readings, original horror literature, macrame artwork, jewelry, and oh yeah, I'll be there. That's right, if you want to come hang out with me, I will be there selling some of my artwork along with all of the other spooky people. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity for only $15 today when you order pre-sale tickets. For ticket purchases, inquiries, and more info, please visit www.hauntfest.us. And don't forget to follow hauntfest.athens on Instagram for all of the updates about the festival. This year's slogan is, "Who cares about April Fools when you can go to April Ghouls?" So if you don't know, there is a large, I can't say anything other than like a death tunnel. I think they call it the body chute. It is a 500-foot tunnel that has a staircase on one side and a ramp slide looking thing on the other side. And it goes straight down for over 200 steps. Now I want you to Google right now a 200 step staircase and you tell me how far down that is. Because remember, this sanitarium was built on top of a hill. So this body chute goes through basically the side / middle of this hill all the way to the bottom. So that way they could get out the dead patients without the other tuberculosis patients having to see their dead friends. Which is fucking crazy. So remember how I said one side of it was like kind of slope down like a slide. Trust me, they didn't just throw the body on there and let it, whew! They would put them on gurneys and then take them down. But you gotta think, how steep would that be? There had to be at least one person who just like accidentally let go and the body just went flying down that thing. Which might be the other reason that this is one of the most haunted places in the building. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Also, this tunnel served as a temporary raid shelter during World War II. So there's a lot of energy in this tunnel, let alone the whole building. So the building would reopen with its 400 new bedrooms on October 17th of 1928. This would be when the morgue on the first floor was added on, which also is a heavy place for activity. And we found out through records that they were also using electroshock therapy on these patients. And because everybody in this hospital had a severe case of tuberculosis, pretty much this was a quarantined place. So you could go outside and there was a yard, but there was a large fence around the perimeter, meaning that everybody, including the nurses and doctors, had to stay inside once they went in. So Waverly Hills themselves was pretty self-sufficient. They could grow their own food, they had farm animals, they even had a post office. Which basically meant that once you went in, you weren't coming back out. So by 1943, an antibiotic was finally developed for tuberculosis. And by 1961, it was working enough that Waverly could close its doors. There is no accurate representation of just how many people passed away inside of Waverly. It's suspected to be about 10,000. Now, if you go to the Waverly Hills website, nowadays they do tours, they do all this stuff to really promote that this is a haunted place. And they bump up that number to something like 50 or 60,000. But if you go back to all the records, it seems like documented it was more around 10,000 people. Which, don't get me wrong, is still a shit ton, but not quite as many as most people believe. So in 1962, only a year later, the building would be reopened as Woodhaven's Geriatric Center. This would be a nursing home for patients with dementia and mobility limits, as well as severely mentally handicapped patients. From being understaffed and neglecting its patients, they would close their doors only 20 years later in 1982. And there's not a lot of documentation about what happened during those 20 years, but something happened to where they were completely shut down, unwillingly. So a year later, in 1983, it was bought for $3 million by J. Clifford Todd, who wanted to turn it into a minimum security prison. Cause why not just put that on top of a hill? They would have this plan in development until the neighbors started protesting and insisting they stopped. Then they started pitching maybe turning it into apartments or a hotel, but neither of those ever took off. So in March of 1996, Robert Alberhasky bought Waverly Hills and the surrounding area. So Robert had an idea, okay? He ran Alberhasky's Christ, the Redeemer Foundation, Inc. And this foundation made plans to construct one of the biggest worship centers you could possibly think of. So remember how I said this building had over 400 rooms? Well, they want to convert this into a huge church, theater, and don't forget, gift shop, for about $8 million. But that would only be the second phase. We can't forget about the first phase, which is they wanted to build a 150-foot tall and 150-foot wide statue of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I didn't stutter. Don't go back. A humongous fucking statue of Jesus Christ. And where would they put this, you might ask? Right on top of the motherfucking building. As if this building isn't already on top of a hill where you can see it for miles. Put Jesus Christ right on top of it. And don't forget that this statue would cost around $4 million, meaning they needed a total of $12 million to make all of these renovations. Unfortunately for them, this project could only be done with donations to make literally the biggest church I think I've ever heard of. And after falling short with only getting $3,000 in the first year, they chucked the idea by 97. So after Robert's efforts failed, Waverly Hills was sold to Tina and Charlie Mattingling in 2001. And that is still who owns them today. So the Mattinglings offer tours and Halloween parties every year with funds going towards renovating and restoring the building. They are currently working on restoring all of the windows that have been broken out over the years. Alright, so now that you've had the history lesson of Waverly Hills Sanitarium, let's talk about the ghosts that inhabit it and gave it its name. So of course, there has to be some fucked up shit in there, right? I mean, there was over 10,000 deaths. Not only was it a tuberculosis hospital, but it was also a place for the mentally ill and disabled. It has a lot of heavy energy in there. So I think we have to start off with the scary ass creatures that are down in that body chute death tunnel. Not only is there apparently sounds of somebody crying and yelling down there, one of the main reports is a very heavy presence of this strange creature that likes to crawl on the walls that most people believe is demonic. Many people who have gone there have heard children's laughter and slamming doors. Faces appear in doors and windows, and people appear in photos when nobody was in the room with them. And of course, there's a million counts of shadow people throughout the entire hospital. But there are specific hot spots in this hospital. So the morgue on the first floor is, of course, a huge hot spot, because imagine how many people, or spirits, I should say, have seen the inside of this room. Also, when I was looking at how this building is laid out, it almost looks like the morgue is one of the rooms directly when you walk in, which is even more terrifying. It is said, however, that the higher up you get in this five-story building, the more and more haunted it gets. On the third floor, there is a documented case of a homeless man and his dog falling down the elevator shaft while the building was empty. So I'm assuming this is sometime in the 90s when there was a few years when the building was abandoned and nobody bought it or did anything with it. He apparently attempted to use the elevator. I'm not sure if there was electricity or what, but the elevator doors opened, he walked in, and there was no elevator there for him. So he quickly fell three stories to his death, unfortunately, with his dog. There is many speculations that he was actually pushed down this elevator shaft, but there's no evidence to support that. Many people, including the owners themselves, have claimed to not only see the man around the third floor, but also his dog in various rooms. On the fourth floor, there's a doctor who walks around in a white coat, looking for a new patient to care for. And on the fifth floor, there is apparently the most haunted. This was the floor where the mentally insane were kept. On the fifth floor is the famous 502. This room is where a nurse in 1932 jumped to her death from the outside deck. This is also an instance where some people believe she was pushed. Pushed by who? We don't really know. But it could possibly be the woman in 502 who, only 4 years prior in 1928, committed suicide by hanging herself in the doorway. This nurse named Hellenberg is seen quite often in this room. Not only is her figure seen standing in the doorway, but she's seen in the reflection of the window most times. There's a theory that she didn't actually commit suicide in this room and that she possibly got pregnant by one of the doctors and scheduled an abortion so that the child wouldn't be born inside this tuberculosis-infested building, but unfortunately would die from the abortion, and suicide was staged to cover up the incident. But this is all speculation, and nobody really knows what happened up there. All we know is that pretty much any person who walks into 502 has a very heavy feeling about it. There was even a security guard who stayed on the fifth floor, and they were staying in tents on the fifth floor, but during the night, things were coming up and hitting the side of their tent. That would be not only terrifying, just to begin with. Imagine if you're camping and that happens. You're already thinking there's some kind of animal or something like that. Think about how much more terrifying it would be if you're on the fifth floor of a sealed building. I believe on the fifth floor, but I'm not positive, it could have been the third or fourth. But I want to say also on the fifth floor that there is a spirit of a little boy people have named Timmy. Timmy particularly loves to play with toy balls and other toys that are left for him throughout the building. There's actually many videos that you can look up on your own of paranormal investigators going to the fifth floor and just seeing all these balls left in the rooms for him to play with. Many people have gone and tried to play with the spirit of Timmy by rolling a ball downhill towards him and the ball rolling uphill back to them. I also found a report of a gravel company who went out there to pave the road a few years ago, and the crew had reported bricks being thrown at them from the top of the roof of the building. So the police were called to investigate, thinking maybe some punks or something just broke into the building and were having fun, whatever. But when the police were called and went inside, not only was the building still locked, it was completely empty. There are thousands of accounts in this building. You can search the internet, and pretty much anybody who has gone there has seen something, whether it be a floating orb or something more sinister like being touched or pulled by something. All I know is that is a horrifying building that I don't think I would ever want to go to. But tell me what you think. I know that a ton of people really want to go there or have gone there already, and they think that it's an amazing opportunity to get to go and hang out at this building. To each their own. Maybe that's not me, but whatever floats your boat. I prefer being scared and just talking about them from the comfort of my computer chair. But let me know what you think. Do you really think that this is one of the most haunted buildings in America, or do you think we just blow it way out of proportion? I want to know. Whew! Let's hope that this episode actually makes it out to you guys. If it's uploaded, then just know that we fought tooth and nail for it. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit that follow button and you hit the notification bell so that you're told whenever I post a new episode twice a week. Also, don't forget, if you are listening to this episode the day it comes out, this weekend, that is right, this very weekend, if you are going to be in the Athens, Georgia area, come out to Haunt Fest. It's going to be an amazing festival. I'm going to be there. So many cool people are going to be there. It's going to be a great, great time. As always, my name is Audie, and this has been Audie's Oddities.